Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown Atlanta. Reminding you that such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. We are a global spiritual community here at Midtown, and we are physically located in Midtown Atlanta, but we are stretched all over the world, and we have people watching and listening to us and participating with us from various states and countries every week. So excited to be able to speak truth and awaken you to some ideas perhaps that you hadn't thought of before, or to remind you of what you already know. We are a place where all are welcome, whatever your background, wherever you're going, wherever you've been. Because we know who you are. We know you are an expression of the divine. You are God's opportunity, Spirit's opportunity, life's opportunities to show up. And therefore, you are made of spirit stuff, of star stuff. And your real essence, your real truth is divine. You're a soul having a physical experience and in a time and place. However you think of yourself, however you name yourself, whatever situations or identities you've taken on or you believe in, all of those are honored and welcome here. So we thank you for being present with us, and we look forward to a good time together today. So before I say much more, I would like to invite us to consider the some of the things we teach and believe. And we'll do that through our Declaration of Principles. I believe
in one God,
one absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love
and creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life
and the immortality of the individual soul
forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Next, we're going to hear from one of our licensed practitioners. A licensed practitioner is someone who is trained in new thought, trained in these teachings, and has learned how to use them for themselves to create a greater life experience, and also how to support others and use them for others to do the same. So today we have one of our co-leaders of the practitioners and also a board member, wonderful Doug Moody. Take it away.
Thank you, Dr. Bob Dean. And happy daylight savings time, everybody. I hope everyone is springing forward. I know we feel like we lost an hour, but hey, we're going to get more daylight at the end of the day. So it's a nice trade-off. I'm really pleased and excited to be here with you this morning. I'm a little intrigued with this topic, and I can't wait to hear what Dr. Bob has to say about it. Our theme today is a spoonful of humor is the medicine. And at first when I read that, I thought of that song from the movie Mary Poppins about a spoonful of sugar, but I think the point was kind of quite the same. I think we all have times and we experience challenges in our lives that force us to, you know, really kind of think about things and turn inward. And sometimes that turning inward process can get very heavy and very deep. And sometimes people can even get stuck in that process to the point where it's not really helping them move forward in their lives and moving forward towards a greater expression of life. And it's at that time where I think humor and the ability of laughter, most importantly, the ability to laugh at ourselves, because you got to admit some of this stuff is pretty funny. Some of it's not, but if we can find the silver lining in these situations that we face, it helps get us moving in the right direction. I came across a few quotes, and there is a quote that Ernest Holmes said about laughter that is very beautiful, and I hope Dr. Bob shares that with you. I couldn't find anything, so I kind of relied on a couple of other quotes about laughter and humor, and I came across one because, let's face it, a particular area that we all find and sometimes struggle in is relationships and people and finding that person to which we want to spend the rest of our lives with. And one of my favorite humorists, she wasn't really a comedian, but I used to love reading her columns. She was very popular back in the 1980s and 90s, was the humorist Irma Bombeck. And talking about that, Irma Bombeck had the gift of always being able to find the funny side of just about any situation and present it in a way that would kind of make us laugh about the whole thing and make it playful and fun so that we ourselves could see the truth and move forward. And I'm going to share with you a quote that she said. People shop for a bathing suit with more care than they do a husband and wife. The rules are basically the same. Look for something you'll feel comfortable wearing and allow for room to grow. I thought that was pretty wise. Pretty wise rule for all relationships, even beyond, picking someone to be our husband or our wife. Mark Twain also had a beautiful quote saying, humor is the good-natured side of truth. And I think he said that because in finding that humor, in finding that lightness, it allows us to move towards that truth. It's real interesting. And I think, you know, we've seen numerous studies that all talk about how laughter is the medicine and a tonic in life. Just last year, the Mayo Clinic did a major study, and they concluded that laughter is actually a huge stress relief in our lives, that it adds joy and, quote, zest to our life, which is spice and flavor and excitement. So there are numerous studies even, you know, pointing to this. We all have situations, and I had a relationship challenge too many years ago now. It was kind of at the end of my first serious relationship for 6 years. And, you know, at the age of 32, I just thought, you know, wow, like what's left in life for me? And thankfully, I was moving back to Atlanta and getting back involved with the church here and jumping into classes with Dr. Kennedy Schultz, which was amazing. And I wouldn't be where I am here now had I not pursued that. But one of the things that I found during the course of kind of dealing with the loss of that relationship and allowing me to move forward was I got stuck in kind of this, I love music, as you guys probably know. And one of my favorite albums at that point in time, and I still play it every once in a while, is an album by Natalie Cole from 1991. It was her album entitled Take a Look. Fantastic album, classic 1940s, 50s blues and jazz numbers, and just incredibly orchestrated and with a voice that's just so pure and clear. That CD and a few songs in particular from it became kind of my best friend during that time in reconciling that relationship. And it's funny, the songs that I liked the most and that I would play over and over were two tracks. The first one was I'm Gonna Laugh You Right Out of My Life, which was kind of one of those looks at relationships and helping me kind of frame that. And the second one was This Will Make You Laugh. Both songs to me always were so uplifting, you know, kind of they started out in that bluesy kind of rock bottom era that we sometimes get stuck in. But by the end of the song, I just felt so much more uplifted. So I would play them over and over and over again. And I still enjoy them to the day. And my third favorite song from this stuff was I Wish You Love. So it's funny how, you know, we sometimes find music or different things to help lift us out of that and realize that, you know, we can laugh at ourselves. And in finding that laughter, we find and discover our wholeness, and it allows us to move forward. If you happen to feel stuck dealing with any challenge in your life, and you know, trust me, we all have them. We have a wonderful team of practitioners here at Center for Spiritual Living Midtown Atlanta, very well versed in this teaching, very well versed in experience, and able to bring light and a gentle guide and nudge to helping others lift out of such challenges and see the truth and wholeness about yourself. And if you're having challenges or having problems with this, please feel free to contact the practitioners. You can go onto our website, cslmidtown.org, and get in touch with practitioners with requests, and we're there to support you and lift you up. So please let us know how we can do that. Now I'm going to do a spiritual affirmation of treatment, spiritual mind treatment. I'm going to do this in the first person and ask you to accept what resonates with you and what doesn't. Just let it go and keep moving forward. So let's know this together. There is one infinite intelligence, one divine power of light and love and creation operating throughout the universe. It's cosmic something operating through me in each present right now and always. And I am one with this infinite intelligence and presence because it is always within me and it is always within each and every person. When I recognize that this divine intelligence is within and empowering me, I am one with all the power of creation. And this is exciting. And this is what allows me to recognize and see my wholeness and move me forward in greater truth. Today, I claim divine wisdom, divine love, and especially divine courage in helping me in each present to find the silver lining in the challenges that we face in our lives. And in doing so, that courage, calling forth the courage to find and see that humor and even possibly laugh at ourselves or laugh at the situation, helping us to realize that that situation doesn't have the power, that we have the power within us, that we have the power to direct our thought, to direct and guide our hearts toward a greater and richer and fuller expression of life. This is my truth and the truth of each beautiful soul present. And I'm so grateful for this wonderful teaching, for this center of light and hope and love and joy in the world. Grateful for Dr. Bob Dean, for our wonderful friends at New Thought Radio, for all of our practitioners, all of our support people and staff who make this all possible, this beautiful community. It is all wonderful and it is all good and it is all God. And so today we claim greater laughter, moving us in wholeness towards a greater life. This is a wonderful truth. I accept it for myself. I accept it for all present. And I release this word into the universal law of knowing. It is done. We let it be so. So it is. Thank you. And now we've got a great song talking about the blues from Kieran Drucker. I lost the right to sing the blues. Thank you.
Welcome, Kieran Drucker.
Woke up this morning, something was not right. My poor head was a-throbbing cause I tossed and turned all night. Well, this unfamiliar feeling, it kind of shook me up inside. Cause the truth it was revealing that a part of me had died. So I called my higher self and she gave me the bad news. She said, your life is just so good, you lost the right to sing the blues. That broken down old Chevy that was eating me alive, well, I visualized a Lexus and now it's sitting in my drive. And that man of mine, that scoundrel, that rotten low-down bum, I transformed him into a love god with a sizable trust fund. And everywhere I looked, I was confronted with the clues that my life was just so good, I lost the right to sing the blues. Now, you can sing the blues if you can't pay your rent. And you can sing the blues if your money has all been spent. But how can I sing the blues? I ain't got no excuse when I'm driving in my Porsche on the way to my masseuse. So you won't find me wailing late at night in some smoky bar. You won't see me crying tears into my old guitar. Honey, I am too busy cleaning my chakras and chasing bad karma away and fluffing up my aura. Well, it takes Richard at least all day. Now that I am enlightened, I've got to spread the news. When life gets this darn good, you lost the right to sing the blues. I'm gonna blow. Wait, it's not right. Sing that mournful tune when I'm steaming with my honey in my sauna in Cancun. So now you've heard my story and you understand the pain of searching and not finding any reason to complain. Cause my stars are in alignment and my house is all feng shuied and I'm filled with peace and harmony and my bills have all been paid. I've let go of my struggle and you know I've paid my dues. When life gets this darn good, you lost the right to sing.
What are you saying?
Are you gonna just not mind anymore? Can we all just like agree on that? No, we're not gonna do that. We've lost the right to sing the blues. Cause it feels so good to whine. Oh yes it does, I've lost that right.
So much. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen Drucker. Thank you, Doug Moody, for choosing that and for bringing us your wonderful message earlier today. I always chuckle. I always laugh at myself because sometimes I think with all of my auras polished and all of those things that she talked about, that everything should be all hunky-dory and I should never whine or complain. But she says you have the right to sing the blues sometimes, and sometimes we just don't if we look at how good our lives can be. So one of the perks for being a member of my college choir back in, not before electricity, but quite a while ago, was that every fall we got to go on a leaf viewing tour up through the Smoky Mountains. And which always ended at Cade's Cove with a picnic, barbecue, night of singing and fun with my fellow college friends. So on that particular October, we left 150 of us strong, three busloads, the old yellow school buses that all of us probably remember, and many of them are still out there on the road today. We got almost to Cade's Cove, and as we were coming down a hill, I was in the first bus. I was sitting about two seats behind the driver. And as we started the hill descent down towards, actually into the Cape, or Cade's Cove, into the Cove, I noticed that we were coming up kind of fast on some traffic in front of us. So the driver started slowing down and put on brakes, and we heard a thud, because when you hit the brake, at first it held and then it simply didn't. It slammed to the floor and he pumped the brakes a few times and there was no brake. So we had on one side, on the right side of us, was a solid sheer wall going up and some rock outcroppings of rock that there was no way to go off the road on the right. If we went straight ahead, we would have run into the back of the car in front of us. And to the left, the approaching traffic, there were cars coming in that lane. So this driver made a very wise decision, which none of us were even processing at that time, and swerved off the road and took to the air. Because to the left, beyond the oncoming traffic, was a ravine with a creek in the bottom. And our busload of about 40 students went barreling down that ravine. The last thing I saw and remembered was the top of the bus kind of up ahead of me, like crinkling up, like seeing tinfoil when you rub it or when you grab it in your hand and it just crinkles. And I was seeing that whole side of the bus do that. And then my brain, my wonderful brain, took over and shut down. And so I wasn't knocked unconscious, but I went unconscious for a few moments while we went through the rest of that crash down to the bottom into the creek. Fortunately, there wasn't a lot of water in the creek. And what we heard later was that the bus rolled into the creek, rolled out on the other side, and then back from the momentum. And came to a rest on its side in the creek. It was total silence. As I became aware, of myself and what was where I was and what was happening. And I was lying face down. Someone else was on top of me. Someone was underneath me, and was kind of moaning a little bit. So I realized my knee was not in a place within in his abdomen. So I needed to move. And I checked my systems and everything seemed to be okay. And so I moved my knee enough to get him some relief. But the bus was completely silent other than just a very few faint moans from people. And I sort of pushed and raised up and the guy on top of me sort of rolled to the side. And I looked back because I was in the front of the bus. I looked back to this whole sea of arms and legs and heads and seats that all come loose from the clamps that clamp those cushions to the bars on the bed, on the seats. And it was just a constant sea of all of that. And just as a few people started to make sounds, someone in the back of the bus shouted, "What's black and orange, black and orange, black and orange?" A school bus rolling down the hill. Now, I'll tell you that the giggles started next to whoever that guy was and spread like contagion through the entire bus. And the next thing we knew, we were all laughing so hard, we were having difficulty untangling ourselves and getting up. We had no idea who was hurt, how badly they were hurt or whatever. But that joke, that image, that word, that expression triggered that freedom from all of the adrenaline flowing through us and gave it an outlet to go a direction other than how horrible it could be. And, oh, my God, we've been in a bus wreck. And, oh, dear, are we dead? What's going next? None of that happened. Nobody screamed. Nobody started to cry. We just laughed and laughed. And when the first rescuers got to us, that's what they heard. The front of the bus, as I said, the bus was on its side. So that big front window had popped outward, making a perfect doorway. The first rescuers got to us and were astonished that we were all laughing when they stepped to the door. But they began patiently helping us untangle and get up and be sure everybody could get up. And then others from the other buses had pulled over and some of the oncoming cars. One of them had EMS trained people in them. The other one had a medical doctor. So we had a doctor and two EMS on the scene long before any ambulances showed up. Our fellow students and others from the bus and from the cars that stopped helped us carefully get out of the bus, step from the window of the bus onto a couple of stones, and then scramble up the bank as best we could. And by the time the bus was emptied, there were two people who needed immediate medical attention. The rest of us were checked over by the doctors, the EMTs, by the time ambulances had started to arrive, anticipating the worst. Only two people had to go to the hospital from that whole 40-something of us in that bus. And every few minutes through that whole episode, somebody would start to giggle and say, what's black and orange, black and orange, black and orange? And we'd all start to chuckle and giggle and laugh again. I never found out who said it originally, but whoever it was a genius. It was perfect because the laughter shifted us out of that mode of horror that we were all feeling before we, those of us who could see what was happening. The last half of the bus didn't know what was happening. They didn't see anything until we were tumbling down the side of the hill. As after everyone was checked over, and we were a long way from campus by then. We were nearly at the end of our trip. And the decision was made, since we were all basically okay, other than being really shaken up and knowing we were going to be really sore the next day, we piled on the other two buses, all except the two that went to the hospital, went on the couple of miles down to Cades Cove, where picnic was waiting for us, and a bonfire, and we roasted hot dogs, and we ate, and we laughed, and we talked, and we sang camp songs, and we sang songs with each other, and we shared what we were feeling and what it meant to have gone through that, and to have all of that support and help. And by the time that was done, it had given time for word to spread on our campus and in the little small town where the campus was located, and a caravan of cars, I still get choked up about that, showed up. Choked up not because of the horror, but because of the compassion and love of those people who hopped in their cars and drove a couple of hours, maybe three, to where we were. So those of us who'd been on that bus didn't have to ride in a bus back to campus that night. They checked over all of us at the hospital. It held that only two or three ended up needing any further medical help, except a whole lot of trauma and some counseling and stuff in the days to come. Laughter was the medicine. And I'm convinced it was the laughter that kept all of us out of our hysteria and out of the feeling of horror. And I think had a huge impact on the level of injury in each of us. I learned in Peru that when one of our people on a trip tripped and fell, he immediately stepped over her, sat down, and just was saying to her ear, stay with me, stay in your body, stay present, because if you can stay present, you won't have the injuries. And it was sure enough true. She had fallen pretty hard, and she was not a person who could fall easily, and yet she was okay. She had no problems. So laughter and staying present in your body. Doug said it. There's a great quote by Ernest Holmes that says that, I'm ahead of myself. We'll come back to that one. This one is about, he also said that we heal our thoughts. And that laughter is a return to wholeness. That it's a return to wholeness. And it is as necessary and vital to the universe and to life as any other aspect of life. In talking about Emerson, he said, the laughter of a child is as important to the universe as the creation of a planet, not just a plant. Sorry, mumbling around here. Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You know how you feel when you hear a kid laugh? If you're not busy being annoyed because they're disturbing your peace, which I am sometimes, and I get over my silly self, but when I'm able to hear the joy and the silliness and the delight in the laughter, whether it's a tiny child or a 70-year-old child, laughter is contagious. Have you ever done a laugh circle? I'll get to that. That was going to be an assignment at the end, but I'll tell you now. A laugh circle is when you get together with a few people, family members or others that you feel fully comfortable and safe with, and you lie down on the floor and you make a kind of a circle and put your head on one another's stomachs. So it takes a little to figure out how to do that. And when you put your head on one another's stomach, or you put your head on someone else's stomach, then you just lie there and be quiet. And eventually, somebody will giggle or laugh. because it's just really a strange, awkward way to spend an evening with your friends. But as soon as one person laughs, your head starts, if you're the one with your head on their stomach, your head starts to bounce, and then you, the person next to you and the person next, and before you know, everybody in the room is howling with laughter and you can't stop it. Some people call that an ugly laugh. It's just contagious. It just goes and goes and goes because it is so much a part of us. We already know the science of laughter. I mean, we've learned so much in the last few years about our brains and how they work. And one of the things that laughter does is it kicks off those great endorphins that give us such a wonderful feeling. And in doing that, it helps clear out any of the negative chemicals in your body that have to do with your immune system and your immune system working against itself and all of that thing. It just brings everything back into balance physiologically. And since we are whole beings that are one, we're not humans, physical beings and spiritual beings and psychological beings. We are just beings who have all of those components and all those parts that are totally interconnected. Then that recognition of how it's affecting our physical body says a lot about how it's going to affect our emotional and spiritual bodies. See, this wonderful teaching of ours is a place where we teach and we work with ourselves by working with consciousness. One of the things that I don't have a quote for that Ernest Holmes said and said quite clearly and wonderfully is we don't heal people in this teaching. People are already spiritual beings who are perfect, whole, and complete at their core. Now, on the outside, there may be a lot of other things going on. But that being, that human being, is a perfection, is a soul that is just right as it is. So we don't need to heal that. What we need to heal are our thoughts and feelings and beliefs and attitudes and all of that that makes up what we call thought. When we say thought, we're not just talking about the little thoughts running around our heads, but the whole everything about you that is invisible. If you think of it that way, your consciousness, your faith, your beliefs, your secrets, all of those things that you cannot see, touch, taste, or feel on the outside. Now it'll show on your face, especially if you're like me and you kind of have trouble keeping your poker. No poker playing for me. But that part that's in there is still primarily consciousness, and it just happens to show up on my face. That's the you that can be healed. That's the part of you that can be healed. Changing your thoughts, changing your beliefs, changing what you think and do and how you would live and be and do and go forward. Yeah. Because when you think about the things we would change in thought, we change our belief systems. We change what we believe and know to be true about life. And if we work with it, we get to a deeper knowing that comes out of our own spirit and souls. A recognition that there is no separation whatsoever between us and the great powers that move within us. The life that is only wanting to show up. It's always there. Unless you've left your body, and then it's not in your body, but it's still with you, wherever you are. So we change our beliefs. We work on this idea that, and it's not about pretending those terrible things don't happen. That was a traumatic, difficult experience. It took me years to get to the point where I could ride in a bus anywhere without being absolutely, you know, on edge and really, really anxious. And for most of my adult life, I've not been that comfortable riding with anybody else because if I'd been in the driver's seat, well, that wouldn't have true. I couldn't have made any difference, but at least I would have had a sense of control. That's what I thought and what I felt. Whereas that was absolutely no control. You just sit there and watch it happen and nothing you could do. So it had its effect and it's had its difficulty. And I'm not here to pretend that terrible things aren't happening in the world right now. Goodness knows they are. I don't need to reiterate them because you know them better than, you know. But what is so important here is that we not get so caught up and bogged down in the emotion of all of that, that we start believing that's the only thing that's real or true. And it is true. There are about 70 places in the world right now where conflict, open war kind of conflict is going on. Ukraine is one of them. But only one out of that 70. It's happening all over the planet. Always has been. It's not new. But laughter in the midst of that can lift us emotionally, spiritually, physically into a higher functioning place so that we can deal with it in an easier, more effective way. Gallows humor, you've all heard of it. You know, foxhole humor. I worked in an ER for a while when I was a chaplain and had responsibility in the emergency room and saw some pretty horrific things happen to people. I'll spare you the descriptions, except to say that in the midst of that, one of the things, it was also one of the places where among the staff, in the privacy of our room, of our break room and our nurse's station, there was more laughter and humor of all kinds, not just the negative kind. So laughter, finding ways. So an important thing is change your beliefs, change your thoughts, work with that just like we're doing, just like Karen sang about, all those different ways we do to shift. But don't forget to laugh and create opportunities and ways. Ernest says this, Ernest Holmes, our founder of our teaching, there is a laughter of God. Let's laugh it. There's a song of the universe. Let's sing it. There's a hymn of praise. Let's praise it. There's a joy, a beauty. There's a deep, abiding peace. Let's experience it. By Ernest Holmes, Ideas of Power. It's in one of his other books. Yeah. That's that energy of life wanting to flow through us and simply wanting to appear. And those are the many, many ways that it appears. So make a playlist. If you got, I love what Doug said about the songs that he was listening to. In 93, when I was ending a relationship, I remember cleaning house and listening to Natalie Cole and crying and sweeping and cleaning and all those things because she just opened my heart up with that music. It was wonderful. But get a playlist that also brings you joy. Get a playlist of movies. Put together a playlist of movies that you know when you watch make you laugh. Priscilla, A Queen of the Desert is one of my favorites. If I want to feel good and laugh and just celebrate the joy of life, that's a movie I watch. And it's an old movie by now. I know you know, you, if you haven't heard of it, go find it. Another one of those that makes me laugh is Auntie Mame, the original Rosalind Russell movie. Other things. Those are just mine. You find yours. See, because when you find your songs and when you find your playlist for yourself, I have a playlist of Daniel Namod that is kind of the song soundtrack to my life. And I play it a lot. And I play Karen, I play others. And those just bring me such fun and such joy. So do that. Take responsibility. As much as you take responsibility for being serious and problem solving and doing those things, take responsibility for bringing joy and laughter. Find places and ways to do that. Not at anybody else's expense, but just for the pure joy of it, finding the good. Gratitude is a good route to that and a good way to find it. I'd like to leave you with a quote by one of my favorite metaphysicians, and it goes like this. See, when we stop telling ourselves stories about how everyone and everything is bad or wrong, or should be handled a certain way on the outside, then we can see the humor of all of these souls crowded on this planet. In spite of the epidemic, the pandemic, there are still more souls having physical experiences on this planet than ever before. Even with all of those sad and horrendous losses, I'm not minimizing that. But take a look at the humor of all of us souls getting used to physical bodies that we don't know how to manage to begin with. And then once we get older, we kind of get better at it. Bumping into each other, rubbing up against each other, figuring out how to relate, figuring out how to make a world together that will work for all of us in a greater and greater way, a better and better way. Living in this wonderful time and space. And at the same time, with all of the chaos, finding joy and laughter. Look for the humor in that when you see people relating. When you look at the funny, crazy things we do with each other and to each other sometimes. See, because you have the capacity to rise above the pain, to rise above the horror, to see through it into a greater good. Because you're wonderful, and so am I, and so it is. Thank you. And now let's hear from Vance.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Bob, for that wonderful talk. Being in laughter, you know, that's an awesome thing. So as we join here for our spiritual learning, growth, development, expansion, whatever you want to call it, we come together and learn and grow. I will say a reminder, and Dr. Bob will do that again, hang out or come on to the Zoom meeting afterwards for our annual meeting today. We're going to go over church business for the year. So if you would, with me, do our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. You can donate there at cslmidtown.org or click on the little QR code. It'll take you right to the spot to donate. And we appreciate all that you have. Now, on to that.
Oops. So in closing, I would like to say that we are meeting immediately after this on Zoom. You can find that link on cslmidtown.org. I would also like to announce, this is our first time to announce it, that the first Sunday the first Sunday in April, we will be meeting in person here in Midtown Atlanta for the first time in 2 years, over 2 years at that point. So put it on your calendar, plan to be with us. We'll talk more about it in the meeting, and we look forward to seeing you then. So I invite you to know this with me. As we close with this affirmation, I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. And I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is. See you next time.
And it's time for everybody's favorite fun game, announcements, announcements, announcements. Hey, stay in touch with the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown through our newsletter. Get one email a week, letting you stay informed. And please subscribe when visiting YouTube to our YouTube channel. Those subscriptions go a long, long way. And while you're on your social media, why not give us a like and a share on Facebook? Let your friends know what we're doing. Invite them to come watch our services with you. And join us on our Zoom room throughout the week. We offer a variety of Zoom interaction opportunities each and every week here as part of the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. 10 a.m. Sunday is our discussion group around the 365 Science of Mind book. Every Sunday, 12 noon Sundays, our community fellowship immediately following our Sunday services. And 12 noon on Tuesday, our online empowerment opportunity. The access room information remains the same for all of our Zoom experiences. If you need access, please visit cslmidtown.org and you'll find access information on our website. Join us on any of our Zoom opportunities throughout the week. And while you're with us, be sure to connect with one of our professional practitioners. These are folks that are highly trained to support you along your spiritual journey. You can learn more on our website about our professional practitioners. Just head over to cslmidtown.org, click on About and Practitioners. Then you'll see their bios and a way to reach them and learn a little bit more about each of them. And please send us your prayer requests. Click on the Home tab and look for Affirmative Treatment Prayer Requests. Fill out the form, send it off, and get our professional practitioners praying for you each and every day.